Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed so that you can take your Bible, understand the Word of God, learn the basic truths of the Bible, so you can understand and realize that the Word of God is the truth of God, and it's what we are to follow and what we are to do, and it's the standard for our lives. Now, most people have a difficulty with the Bible. Most people believe either it's total fiction or the Old Testament has been done away, or as the Catholics say, why, we could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without the Bible. Really? Then why did God inspire and preserve the Bible? Why should we even have it at all? Well, the truth is, the Bible is the Word of God from the God of truth to you. Have you ever thought of it this way? If I could sit down with God and have a conversation with God, what would He tell me? He would tell you exactly what is in the Bible, because this is His personal message to you. And this is why we need to, number one, prove God exists, prove His Word is true, prove that these things are right, check everything by the Scriptures, do as the Bereans did, search the Scriptures whether these things are so or not. See, because there are millions of people out there wondering, why am I here? What is happening in the world? Is there God? Does He know me? Does He love me? Does He care for me? Well, the answer is yes. And it's all right here in the Word of God. But there are things that we need to understand and do first. So Church at Home is designed and dedicated to bringing you the basic truths of the Bible so you can understand the Bible. You can understand the Word of God so that you can find the meaning and purpose of your life that God designed for you. And so you can find your way out of the morass of the sins and problems and difficulties in your life, because everyone is beset with so many problems and difficulties today. You need God. You need His Word. You need His truth. Because, you see, God made every human being with a place in their minds, and you might say that's kind of the God section of our mind. The Bible calls it the spirit of man. And the spirit of man is what gives you life. And the spirit of man is that which is in you so that you can connect with the Spirit of God. And we'll explain all of this as we go along. But what's important for you to realize is this. The Word of God is true. A lot of people say, well, if it's properly translated. Well, let me just say this. The Word of God is properly translated to a high degree in many different versions of the Bible, in particularly the King James and perhaps the New King James. I'll talk to you a little later about the Bible in its original order. And all the scriptures that I read on Church at Home come from that Bible. So let's first of all talk about how did God inspire the writers of the New Testament. Now let me just give you a little background concerning this, because people say, well, so many men wrote the Bible. Well, how many men wrote the Bible? Actually, only 40. how many men wrote the New Testament? Actually, only 8. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is almighty? Yes. Do you believe that God can intervene in the lives of men? Yes. Do you believe that God can inspire his personal chosen apostles to write what he wants them to write? Yes. So then why do people say there are lies and myths in the Bible? 2 Peter, the first chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Peter wrote. Because the truth of the matter of this, when you really understand the history and background of the New Testament was written during the lifetimes of the apostles by them, and was finalized and canonized by the Apostle John, probably Mark and Andrew and Philip with him. So this is important to understand and realize. Now let's see what Peter writes here when he knew that he was going to come to the end of his life as Jesus had prophesied that would happen to him. So he says, verse 12, 2 Peter, the first chapter, "Therefore I will not neglect to make you always mindful of these things." That is the teachings of Jesus Christ. "Although you already know them and have been established in the present truth." So his emphasis is on the truth. Jesus' emphasis was on the truth. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his apostles on the night of his last Passover before he was crucified, he said, "I am the way and the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Now you have to think about that in relationship to all the other religions in the world. And you see, those who are hostile against the Word of God, who are atheists, who don't believe in God, reject that out of hand. And I agree with some of the atheists in what they reject. They're rejecting what they see as the church. Because what they see as the church, and also many other people see as the church, is filled with lies and hypocrisies and double standards. And that's what they're rejecting. The truth is, the truth of God is to be preached, and the truth of God was written, and the truth of God was preserved. And as long as the translations are faithful to the original, they will carry the same message. So here's what Peter wrote. "For I consider it my duty, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by causing you to remember these things." How are they going to remember? One thing for sure, oral tradition has a way of changing. So that's why it was not preserved orally. That's why it was written down. And the truth is, within the very first year after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the apostles were beginning to write the teachings of Jesus. Not left to some fictive writers hundreds of years later. So he says, confirming how he's going to die, verse 14, "Knowing that shortly the putting off of my tabernacle will come, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has signified to me. But I will make every effort after my departure that you may always have a written remembrance of these things in order to practice them for yourselves." And that's the key as to why the New Testament. These are the essentials of what Jesus Christ wants us to know concerning him, concerning human nature, concerning the purpose of God, concerning how we are to live our lives. Now notice verse 16. He makes it absolutely clear, contrary to whatever the Jesus seminar and atheist and other religionists and theologians who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Christ. Here's what Peter wrote. For we, now we includes all the apostles, did not follow cleverly concocted myths as our authority, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his magnificent glory. Now, what does he mean there? Well, you go back to Matthew, the 17th chapter, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and was transfigured before them in vision to show that he was the glorious God of the Old Testament, manifested in the flesh. He was not an ordinary man. And to substantiate that, there was also in vision Elijah and Moses, standing for what? The law and the prophets. Now, we'll talk about that later. So this made an indelible impression upon Peter and James and John. James was beheaded in about 42 AD. So then we have James' replacement being Paul. So then you have Paul, Peter, and John. And they're the ones who finalized what we call the New Testament. Now notice how it impressed Peter and how he showed the way that God caused the Scriptures to be written. Verse 17, because he received glory and honor from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And then it also said in the accounts of the Transfiguration, listen to him, follow him. See, not myths, not tales, not your own concoctions, not your own version, but you yield to God in prayer. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God will inspire you to write what I want you to write. Now notice, continuing on, verse 18. And this is the voice from heaven that we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount, verifying that the transfiguration really took place. Now let me ask you a question. If you had been led up to the mountain by Jesus Christ, and if you had seen this vision of transfiguration, how do you think you would handle the Word of God? Don't you think you would handle it honestly, trustworthy, knowing that if you did not, you would surely never have eternal life? Isn't that the way that you would do? Yes. Well, that's what Peter writes about. Now, continuing, verse 19. We also possess the confirmed prophetic word. What is the confirmed prophetic word? That means the words of the New Testament spoken under inspiration of Christ and written under inspiration of Christ and God the Father by the apostles, confirmed by that. That's what the confirmed prophetic word is. Now continuing, verse 19, to which you do well to pay attention. You need to heed, you need to listen, you need to follow, you need to do. You need to realize and understand, this is not just a man speaking to you as I'm speaking to you. These are the words of God given by God to his apostles to write to us. That's why it is called the Holy Bible, because it's inspired by God's Holy Spirit. need to pay attention to it, to live by every word of God. Here's how to do it. As a light shining in a dark place, and this world is full of darkness, and that is the light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And his word is the light of the world. Until the day dawns. What does that mean? That means until the return of Christ takes place. So he knew that the return of Christ would be sometime way down in the future. That's why he's writing this. That's why he wrote 1 Peter. That's why all the books of the New Testament have been written and were finally canonized by John and those with him in about 100 AD. And a morning star rises in your hearts. Now, how can a morning star rise in your heart? Well, it can't. So what is this talking about? This is talking about the resurrection. The first resurrection when Jesus returns. And Jesus said, those who go into the kingdom of God will shine like the sun. And Daniel said that those who turn many to righteous will shine as the stars of heaven forever and ever. So this means until the resurrection, till you are raised from the dead. Now verse 20 is a key. Let's read this. Knowing this first, that is primary first of all, never forget this, that no prophecy, and that means inspired utterance and writing of the scripture originated from anyone's own private interpretation. So it's not the fictive stories of men, as a Jesus seminar would have you believe. It wasn't written by other people 300 or 400 years after the fact. It was written by the apostles. And it wasn't their own opinion. It's what God inspired them to write. Because, notice this, think of this with the whole of Scripture. Because prophecy was not brought at any time by human will, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, do you think God is able to move and control the mind or inspire the mind with the desire for the truth, to write the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, indeed. Because if God cannot do that, he indeed is most impotent. But God has created the heavens and the earth and the vastness of the universe, and he controls it, and he upholds it. And he keeps everything going by the word of his power. So for men to think that God doesn't have the ability to control, to inspire, and give them the desire, and give them the passion, and give them the dedication to write the truth. Yes, God can, God did. God does. Same way with speaking and teaching. Now let's come to the book of 2 Timothy, because here is something that we need to understand concerning the Word of God. Because too many ministers will stand in a pulpit and say, well, all the 613 laws of the Old Testament have no forensic value for us today. Lie. Others will say, the Old Testament has been fulfilled. Lie. Others will say, Jesus did away with the law. We have freedom from the law. Lie. Let's come here to 2 Timothy 3, and let's read some things. Let's understand what Paul wrote concerning the Word of God. And this will also give us an insight into all of the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. And indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. But wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. Not something? Being deceived themselves. Does that sound like what's going on in the world today, in religion and government and in education and family life? Do you feel that there's sort of a pall of deception hanging over the world? Well, if you do, you're right, because there is. And that's another reason why church at home. Now notice what Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young evangelist at that time. But as for you, Timothy, continue in the things that you did learn and were assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now notice the next statement. This becomes very important to understand concerning the Word of God, because you can't come along and throw out the Old Testament, half the New Testament, and say, hallelujah, we're delivered. No, you're not. You do that, you are condemned. You do that, you're an enemy of God. Verse 15, and that from a child you have known the holy writings, that's the whole Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. The Old Testament is necessary. The Old Testament is what you need, as well as the New Testament. Notice, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So here he ties together the Old and New Testament. How are you going to do away with all the things in the Old Testament that talk about the New? And how are you going to do away with all the things in the New Testament that talks about the Old Testament? Well, if you wanted to cut out all of those things, it would look like two-thirds of everything has been removed. Huh, doesn't that sound a little bit like what the Jesus Seminar and ministers and pastors want to do? Sure does, doesn't it? Now notice verse 16. Verse 16 is paramount and key and important to understand. How do you understand the Word of God? Because you must come to it with this attitude and with this approach. Verse 16. All Scripture. Now what does all mean? All means each and every one. Does that include those mundane genealogies? Yes, it does. Does that include the histories? Yes, it does. Does that include the New Testament? Yes, it does. Because Peter equated the writings of Paul to Scripture. They knew they were writing the Scriptures. They knew they were completing the Word of God. So Paul writes, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now what does God-breathed mean? God-breathed means Spirit given by God. That's what it means. And is profitable for doctrine, that means teachings, for conviction, for correction. And we need correction, don't we? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And let me tell you something, good works, according to the definition of the New Testament, are required. And God is going to judge us by our works, not by our intentions. So that's how Paul looked at it. So there you go. Now, I would like you to go onto our site, Church at Home. We have an article on there, How Did Jesus Fulfill the Law? We have articles on there concerning the preservation of the New Testament, the preservation of the Old Testament. All of those are important for you to be able to download free. Now, Don't forget the 14 rules for Bible study, because part of the purpose of Church at Home is for you to get your Bible, dust it off, take some time to sit down and read it, to begin to understand it, to begin to realize that, yes, God is there, God will hear you, God will help you, God will give you understanding. But you have to approach it from the point of view that the holy writings through faith in Christ are able to lead you to salvation. You have to approach it from the point of view that all Scripture is God-breathed. You have to approach it from the point of view that these are not myths and concoctions cleverly devised by men, but holy men of God, true men, called, dedicated, filled with the Spirit of God, wrote these things for us. And God, true to His promise, is having the gospel preached and published in all the world. And you can also download an article, Why Are There So Many Bibles in the World? Did you know that it's coming to the point that there is a Bible for almost every living person in the world? Why? The answer is, as a witness from God before Christ returns. Now that's how important it is to understand the Word of God. That's how important it is to realize how you can come to the knowledge of God, the truth, and salvation, and understand the Word of God and live by the Word of God. Because Jesus said, man, that means any man or woman, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, you need to think about that in relationship to the Gospels and the teachings of Christ, because He was God manifested in the flesh. Are you living by every word of Jesus Christ? Or have you accepted the lie? Well, that doesn't apply to us today. Now, you have to prove it and find out. Now, this has been Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Please go to our main church website, cbcg.org. There we have many more sermons. We have many more studies. We have lots of information for you. We have over 1,200 sermons. We have hundreds of things that you can learn from there, in-depth studies in the Bible, so that you can grow in grace and knowledge and the understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.